Another child gunned down in Jacksonville as young people lead the way on calling for gun reform in America. Good Tuesday morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. And thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and we are always live on the radio at 9. Also, never miss a show. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and through the WJCT app. Just ahead, kids lead the way in demanding change on gun violence in America. We'll speak with Ron Davis, father of slain Jacksonville teen Jordan Davis, and we'll take your calls. Get on the line now, 549-2937. Then later, they're called jam sessions, discussions on the biggest issues in this city. Find out about this week's big talk on race. Plus, empowering women to become entrepreneurs. We'll tell you about the Female Founders Forum. All of that ahead and more this hour. But first this morning, another child shot dead in the 904. Seven-year-old Tashawn Gallen was shot and killed Sunday night in Durkeyville, the fifth child shot in 2 weeks in Jacksonville. It's on the heels of last week's school shooting massacre in Parkland in South Florida. Under the rallying cry of never again, dozens of students and staff who survived the school shooting massacre in Parkland are departing for the state capitol today, a long bus ride from South Florida up to Tallahassee, where they hope to speak with lawmakers this week about school safety and gun reform. One parent who has a lot to say about that is Ron Davis. He's the father of Jordan Davis, the Jacksonville teenager who was shot and killed by Michael Dunn in November of 2012, simply because Jordan and his friends were playing music too loud for Dunn's taste at a Southside gas station. Ron Davis and Jordan's mother, Lucia McBath, have since become part of the national movement in the fight for gun reform. There is so much to discuss here, and we're pleased to welcome Ron Davis to the show once again. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. And thanks for being with us. And I know it was Jordan's birthday a few days ago, so I know that was a tough day for you. So thanks for being with us this morning.
You're welcome. Yes, sir. February 16th was his birthday in Jacksonville. That's Jordan Davis Day. I want to apologize that I'm at the airport, so if you hear some crazy sounds, but I wanted to come on the show. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, where Jordan is buried, and I came here with family to put flowers on the grave for Jordan for his birthday and for his birthday weekend.
Okay, and as we talk to Ron about this issue, we want your calls. Here's our question to callers. Did you hear that another child in Jacksonville was shot and killed Sunday night, apparently caught in the crossfire of gun violence? All this as young people get on buses today from South Florida and head to Tallahassee, where legislators are in session, and they're going to demand that our lawmakers make change in Florida. Young people across the country are expected to take part in a national march. It's called the March for Our Lives. What are your thoughts about gun reform and gun violence in this country? It's 549-2937 to join the show, 549-2937. Or go online, send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org and tweets to @MelissaInJax. We also want your comments on our First Coast Connect Facebook page. And so, Ron, we learned Sunday night in Durkeyville, a seven-year-old kid, Tashawn Gallen, was shot and killed as police investigate. They're asking for the public's help. He was just standing in front of his house and was caught in crossfire, gunfire. And this is the fifth child shot in Jacksonville in just the last couple of weeks. And so every time we hear about this, another child being shot and killed, this is an issue that, of course, Jacksonville has grappled with for many years. We are the murder capital of Florida. We have a huge gun violence problem in Jacksonville, but the nation has a huge gun violence problem. What are your thoughts as we learn about this? And also, we're watching to see that these high schoolers from Parkland, Florida, are getting on buses today and they're heading up to Tallahassee and trying to influence the debate over legislation on gun reform.
Not only are children being shot, but a lot of the killers are getting away. In other words, we have a lot of unsolved cases in Jacksonville. I work with the mother of Maurice Hobbs in Jacksonville, whose son was killed last year, and they still don't have the killer of her son. You know, we had justice for Keegan Roberts. You know, a lot of these families are still waiting for some type of justice. And I did go to Tallahassee, me and Jordan's mother, after Jordan was killed, and we were asked to speak before the state representatives. And again, we felt like we were talking to people that no matter what we said and how passionately we said it, they were not going to change their mind. They were not going to change gun laws because all of their, basically the majority of their campaign contributions come from the NRA at the behest of the gun manufacturers. So I urge the students to get a list of all of the state representatives, Congress, and also the senators that are getting most of their campaign funding from the NRA at the behest of the gun manufacturers, because those are the people that you have to damage their career or get them out of office in order to make change.
And what measures specifically were you and Lucy McBath, Jordan's mother, advocating for? Because the teens that are headed to Tallahassee this week, they're focused on four bills in the state Senate. Provisions like there's a provision that does not allow state or local government agencies to keep track of privately owned firearms. There's a bill that would repeal that. There's a bill that would require a 3-day waiting period for private handgun sales. There's a bill that would ban the sale and transfer of assault weapons and large capacity magazines, and another measure that would boost funding for mental health in schools. Those are four measures that the kids are going to be pushing. You and you, your ex-wife, Jordan's mother, have been so active on this. She's now part of Moms Demand Action, a group of mothers who've lost children to gun violence. What are some of the measures that you've been calling for as you've become, with the tragedy of Jordan's death, you've become an unwilling activist? You've been forced into this like so many other folks who've lost loved ones. You've become an activist. What are the measures, Ron, that you are most concerned with and that you think should be enacted at a national level, even going beyond the state legislature?
Yes, I think the more bills you have, the more watered down the message is. You know, I say the first thing that the students and everyone should advocate for was the complete removal of the AR-15 of any assault weapons to be sold. You know, there is no reason for a hunter to have it. There's no reason for kids to have it. I read that the killer in the Parkland shooting, he had one at home and his mother had it locked up and she didn't think that he had a key. I don't even know why she even allowed him to have it. And so I would advocate for one major thing. It's just we do not have to have assault weapons in America. That's what I would advocate against, is having assault weapons in America.
That's your signature issue. That,
yes.
Now, that, of course, is there is a Senate bill on that. There's no guarantee that it will get any traction. Given that, as you pointed out, the majority of lawmakers in Tallahassee are likely going to be opposed to that. What have been your thoughts, though, in recent days, as we've seen our leaders in Florida like Governor Scott, Senator Marco Rubio, and other prominent Republican legislators around the country, particularly in the wake of these high schoolers, speaking out so strongly and so eloquently? There's movement on legislation now. Governor Scott has declined to participate in a town hall on CNN Wednesday night on this, but instead he's going to be holding a series of workshops that will live stream so that people can be part of the conversation on this. And as he looks to run for the Senate here in Florida, this is an issue that certainly he's politically sensitive to. And so it seems to me that the politics on this are starting to shift at least somewhat, because you see major Republican donors in Florida, like a guy down in Palm Beach named Al Hoffman and a guy here in Jacksonville named Peter Rummel, now saying they will not donate to Republican candidates unless they support an assault weapons ban. That's a new development.
Right, but, you know, these town hall meetings, you know, and these sessions like the one that President Trump is trying to set up, window dressing. You know, every time that there's a shooting, just like Sandy Hook, window dressing, because what came out of all those meetings, remember we had the town hall meetings after those poor elementary school kids were killed? We had, what, 3, 4, 5 town hall meetings, and everybody was teary-eyed and all that. What came out of it? Nothing. See, so they'll have the town hall meetings. They'll tell you how sad they are. They'll tell you. But when it comes to voting on the bills that come through, that's when the rubber meets the road. And that's what I want to see. I don't want to hear about town hall meetings and sensitivity meetings and all this stuff. And that's why I urge these students to make them accountable. Because if they don't vote for these bills, then let's get them out of office. That's the only way that you're going to make a change is to get them out of office.
And if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Ron Davis, the father of Jacksonville teen Jordan Davis, about gun reform and gun violence in America. What are your thoughts about this? 549-2937. Joran is on the west side. Is that your name? Joran, hello.
Yes, good morning, Melissa. I wanted to just comment on something I think that's easy to do, and that's gun amnesty. You know, the legislation, that's going to be tough. I'm in favor of gun restrictions. But in the meantime, I don't understand why we've moved away from having amnesty days where private citizens could turn in guns that they don't want. I'm aware of people who have made changes in their lives and they want to get rid of guns that they've acquired illegally. But there's no way to do that without a lot of questions being asked. I think we need to go back to having amnesty days with the JSO here in Jacksonville. Thanks.
All right. That is something that JSO has done off and on many times through the years, Ron. And other police departments have, too. What about that? Okay. I think Ron is getting ready to get on a plane. Ron, are you there?
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, I'm back now. Yeah, it's hard to hear what these people are talking. But the whole issue is the bills are fine. You know, we spent a lot of time getting these bills. You know, like you said, Lucy's with Mom Demand Action. There's so many other groups out there, and they're all, you know, getting senators to have bills. But when it comes to the vote, the same old people that are in the palms of the NRA are not voting for these bills. They're all excellent bills, you know, when you see your House bill this and House bill that, but at the end of the day, nothing moves. The needle never moves. And when you have a president that's leading the country and he's trying to take what happened in Parkland and then he's going to try to put Russia into the mix and has nothing to do with it, you know, all he's doing is scapegoating and using a terrible situation to his benefit. And so we keep having this, and he's the one that's leading the country. So I feel that the president has to lead the charge if we're going to really have gun reform, and he's not leading the charge because he's enjoying, you know, as he was running for president, wasn't he at the NRA convention? So he's not going to lead the charge. And we have to be real about that. And so that's why I keep urging those students to get the names across America of all these lawmakers that are in the palm of the NRA. And the only way you're going to make change is to make sure you either get them out of office or get them to change their mind and what they're doing, because they have blood on their hands. So let's say they have blood on their hands. They're allowing these kids to be killed with assault weapons, and they know it's dangerous, and they keep allowing these kids to be killed.
And Ron, of course, as people's anguish just cries out for this to stop, what would you say to listeners out there who are gun owners, Second Amendment supporters, who want reform, but they do not necessarily support the measures that are now being really stridently and angrily and vocally called for? What would you say to those who vote for, you know, who voted for Rick Scott, who voted for Marco Rubio, who like that they got an A-plus rating from the NRA, and other politicians like that who've taken money from the NRA, who've gotten A-plus ratings from the NRA? You know, if you're a Republican, that's a badge of honor. If you're a Democrat, it's a badge of honor to get an F rating from the NRA, which shows how divided we are in this country on this issue.
Yes, what I would say to them is, look at yourself in the mirror, Rick Scott and the rest of the gun owners. my attorney, John Phillips, is a gun owner also. Look in the mirror and say, what do you love so much about guns that you're willing to risk the lives of children? What does that gun represent to you? Is it representing more than the children of America? That's what you have to look in the mirror and ask yourself. Because for you to have the right to have guns gives the right to other mentally ill people to have guns. So you won't give up your gun, and you would sacrifice the lives of all these people. Look, all the people in Las Vegas that were murdered. You will sacrifice the lives of all these people, Columbine, and it goes on and on, because you want to have your gun. Why does that gun mean so much to you and the lives of people mean so little? That's what I want you to do. Look in the mirror and ask yourself that question.
Let's go to Johnny on the South Side. Johnny, thanks for holding. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, my comment is that I'm very proud of the students and what they're doing, but they're wasting their time going to Washington. They're wasting their time going to Tallahassee because we know where those politicians stand. They're not going to change their mind. What they need to do is mobilize and recall Governor Scott. They need to recall Marco Rubio and get them out of the office now. You don't wait until the next election cycle to change things. You change it immediately.
Because there's no recall mechanism for elected officials like that you're talking about.
There isn't. Oh, well.
No, not really.
They need to change that law. They need to elect some people that will enforce or vote for a law where you can recall politicians.
Okay, thanks.
If I do a bad job on my job, I can't stay for months and months, you know?
Right. And of course, that's why we have divided America, Johnny. Half the country's furious with a Democrat when they're in the White House. And then when a Republican gets in, half the country's furious with that. And our system says, you know, once you get elected, you're elected for the term of the election for the most part. So thanks for that call, Johnny. Jerry is in Ponte Vedra. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yes. Hey, Melissa, I'm listening to the discussion. I love your show.
Thanks, Jerry.
So much. Yeah, I'm a member of Moms Demand Action in Jacksonville. And a couple of things, if you let me.
Yeah.
We're having Moms Demand Action is hosting a prayer vigil at St. Mary's Episcopal Church on North Laura Street downtown Friday to remember those slain and those traumatized and wounded by this current tragedy.
Friday when? You cut out there for a minute. What time Friday?
Okay. Friday at 7 p.m.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm driving.
Yeah.
Friday at 7 p.m., St. Mary's Episcopal on North Laura Street in Springfield, downtown. We want to remember all those touched by this tragedy and those killed. And all those, again, we have more shootings here in Jacksonville of children. I would hope that people can join Moms Demand Action and continue to put pressure on legislators. And if it's going to be a marathon, not a sprint. Right, Melissa? And so it's going to take time and hold people accountable, as Ron said. So thank you for letting me comment, and you can join Moms Demand Action by texting READY, READY, 64433. You can join.
Okay.
And get updates on legislation.
Thank you for
Excellent.
That, Jerry.
Bye.
Thank you for that. Jordan's mother, Lucy McBath, is a prominent member of Moms Demand Action, Ron Davis. And this group was formed, correct me if I'm wrong, in the wake of Sandy Hook. Isn't that right?
Yeah, Sandy Hook happened right after Jordan was killed. They were both killed in the same year, in 2012. About 3 or 4 weeks later, I think it was around December 13th, that Sandy Hook happened. So it happened right away. It was very fresh to us because Jordan had been killed a few weeks before that. And so that spurred, you know, her joining, and she became a national spokesperson for that.
Lots of emails and tweets coming into the show. Jennifer emails us, I'm proud of these students. We as adults have failed in our responsibility to protect them. If we have a school shooting and your first reaction is, don't even think about taking my guns, instead of how do we stop this from happening again, we don't have a gun problem, we have a morality problem. Andy emails the show, I have absolutely no hope that anything significant will be done regarding guns. The only way things will change is if the massive money is removed from our political system. We need to appoint judges who see the folly of the Citizens United Supreme Court decision. And of course, that's an argument, Ron Davis, that you could apply to not just this issue, but many others. And here are a few tweets for you. Nick tweets the show. It's more than Parkland. 5 dead, 80 wounded over the weekend in Chicago. Here closer to home, a young man gets shot last week on First Street on the east side, then a young boy killed in Durkeyville. We have to find answers. One more tweet. If a drug dealer can be held responsible for an OD death, why not a gun dealer for gun deaths, especially mass shootings?
That's a great, great tweet. Yes, absolutely. Nobody is being held responsible for that, and somebody should be held responsible for that. And, you know, like the caller said, you know, it's about our lawmakers. They have the laws. They don't want to apply the laws. So what do you do if they don't want to apply the laws? Take away the money. So that's another thing that the students might want to look at. How do you take away the money on people that begrudge, you know, the citizens of the United States, because we want our Second Amendment rights to have a gun, and we don't care if you're mentally ill, you can still have a gun. So the only thing that they understand is taking money from their campaign contribution. So that's another thing that they may want to look at, how to take the money away from them and put money into the coffers of people that understand that guns and the way the laws are and the way the regulations are failing this country.
Trudy, let's go to Trudy now in St. Augustine. Hello, Trudy.
Yeah, hello. I am a psychologist, and I have been working in the prison system for many years in California and in Michigan, different places. I have read many files. My conclusion is gun control, yes, that is one thing. Second question then, what about all the guns that are already in circulation and where are they going? But most and foremost, I do believe, and I hardly ever hear mentioning that, there is an incredible fascination in America with violence. There is a fascination with violence, and it starts with the media.
Thanks for that. And I can't argue with her on that, Ron Davis. We're a violent society.
Yes, that is great. You know, and a lot of it, when she says the media, she means that when we look at what we see on television, we look at the series that we see the movies that we see, you know, violent movies, you know, things that happen in prime time, family hour. Family hour used to be dedicated to family movies. Now you see violence on the family. There's no such thing as family hour anymore. You know, I grew up in a nation that had respect for at least family hour. Let the kids go to bed before you show these violent things. Well, now it happens all the time. And with cable and all this other stuff, kids see more violence at a young age, and it's formative for them. This young man, he apparently had seen a lot of violence, you know, and when his mother died, I think that just took him right over the edge, you know, and that's unfortunate. And the FBI, you know, and state government officials, they kind of heard some things about him, but they probably hear things of thousands of other kids. You know, there's thousands of shootings across this country, thousands of kids bringing guns to school, and I think that has to stop. And some of these politicians, they want teachers to have guns. And see, that to me, that's a mixed message, because I think it's just going to bring more violence if teachers have firearms.
Much more we could be talking about with this, but we will continue to follow it on this show. In the meantime, Ron Davis, we appreciate you being with us this morning. Thanks for calling in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Melissa.
We'll continue to follow this issue later in the day here on 89.9 with updates on the students' activism in Tallahassee and in Washington on our newscast this afternoon, and we'll continue to follow it on the talk show as well. Much more still ahead later, all about this weekend's downtown jam, as in jam session. Find out about that. But up next, a closer conversation about race in Duval County. We'll be right back.
Women want to buy a home in the same neighborhood. One's white.
We could easily get pre-approved for a mortgage up to almost $500,000.
One's black.
I was really sad and just like so defeated.
And it's happening to people of color across the country. They're missing out on home loans that white people are getting. On the next Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
Hello, I'm Doug Hansard, and I listen to the Florida Times Union On Demand as read by WJCT Radio Reading Service volunteers. The sound quality is excellent. This is a great asset for people like me, sightless and on the go. The Florida Times Union Daily on the radio reading website at wjct.org/radio reading. Take advantage of it, and while you're there, register as a listener.
I'm David Luckin, host of the Electro Lounge, inviting you to join me Tuesday nights at 9 for Turntable Tuesday, only at the Electro Lounge on 89.9. Your community, your world, your music.
Convinced you've heard it all before? Well, at Indie Endeavor, we challenge that notion. Tune in to WJCT's After Hours for the best songs you've never listened to. Tuesdays at 11 p.m.
Welcome back. Well, they are a series of talks taking place all through the year in downtown Jacksonville focused on disparities in this community. PB&J is partnering with the Nonprofit Center of Northeast Florida on these, and they're called Jam Sessions. Now, there's one coming up tomorrow, and the focus is on race. Community organizer Angie Nixon is here to tell us more about this. Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming. And PB&J is Party, Benefit, and Jam. That's a charity series, and they raise awareness for nonprofits. So they've sort of sponsored this. So these jam sessions are focusing on disparities in this community. There will be four this year looking at race, women, immigrants, and children. This first one is looking at race.
Yes.
In this community. What's going to be on the agenda?
Well, I will be talking about what it's like having grown up in a predominantly African-American community, attending predominantly white schools.
Where'd you go to school?
So in elementary school, I was bused all the way across town to Love Grove and Beauclair. However, in middle school, I attended James Weldon Johnson and Stanton College Preparatory High School, and then went on to the University of Florida. Okay. However, my entire family went to William & Raines, and so there was always a sense of pride in that neighborhood school, and I was really saddened and disheartened that when my eighth grade year, I asked my mom, I said, can I go to Raines? And she told me no, she didn't want to make the same mistake that she did with my brother, even having been a graduate of William & Raines herself.
She thought it was a mistake to send you to Raines.
She thought it would have been a mistake, yes. And that's very unfortunate. And that's kind of what influences the work that I do today. I feel as though she kind of drunk the Kool-Aid a little bit, but it was true a little bit. Stanton was the number one school in the nation when I went. However, it's just such a shame that a lot of folks feel as though their kids can't get quality educations in African-American schools. I know that when I went to Stanton, in order to go to Stanton, you had to have Algebra 1 in middle school, but a lot of the neighborhood schools didn't offer that. And so how would you expect for a child to be prepared or given that access if it's not available to them?
Right. So you're going to share your experience mm-hmm. as a way to start this discussion off.
Yes, I am.
Now, wait, let's go back to what you said a minute ago. You were bused in elementary
yes,
school.
Yes, I was bused.
What neighborhood were you going from? You were going from
right,
what neighborhood down to Mandarin?
Yes. And so I, another part of my story, I would have been, my neighborhood school was right behind my house. It was Mayor McLeod Bethune. And actually, when
I was. A civil rights giant, by the way.
Exactly.
She was down in Daytona Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in her day.
Exactly. And so, actually, when I was at the University of Florida, they actually closed down Mayor McLeod Bethune because it was built on an ash site.
Right. And that's another story of disparities in,
exactly.
and institutional racism in Jacksonville. The ash sites were all. In African-American neighborhoods.
Correct.
Poor neighborhoods.
Correct. And so one of the main reasons that I am involved today with the work that I do as far as working in underserved and underrepresented communities is because my my cousin was, he fell victim to the school-to-prison pipeline. He got in trouble for some things in his high school that at Stanton sometimes, you know, was kind of swept under the rug a little bit and handled in-house. And my cousin unfortunately got killed, got involved in gang activity and got killed. And so he has a son, and my daughter and his son are about the same age, and I don't want them to go through the same things that I went through.
Sure. So you lived right next to Mary McLeod Bethune School in, where's that, on the north side?
It's on the north side, yes.
But you were bused down to Mandarin mm-hmm. for elementary school. Why?
Well, my mom did not want me to go to a neighborhood school.
She did not want
you. She didn't want me to go to a neighborhood school. She felt that they weren't adequately equipped to teach me the things that I needed to be taught. Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I would be the only one at home in the neighborhood working on homework, and the kids hadn't gotten homework, or they didn't have the same books that I had,
mm-hmm.
Or some of their books were older. So,
and these disparities are deep. When you talk about racial disparities in this community,
mm-hmm.
looking at it through the lens of education is one way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one really easy way that a lot of people can look and understand.
Correct.
So by hearing your story, this will hopefully get people to understand just how deep the disparities go. This is why these jam sessions are happening. Can you tell us a little bit more about the larger purpose of these jam sessions that are happening all through the year?
Right. So PB&J, they're launching a series of talks to address the systemic issues that keep us divided. As I was stating, it seems as though Jacksonville is a tale of two cities. It's different when it comes to accessing good jobs, affordable health care, even efficient transportation. And public safety and healthy food options. What's interesting is I'm actually about to open up a business on the east side to address the lack of healthy food options. There's a food desert over there. And so all they have over there is fried foods. And so I'm allowing them to come in and get smoothies, fresh fruit and veggie smoothies and salads and things like that. So there's a lot of disparities within our city.
Tell me more about your business and where it will be.
Yes.
You have some free airtime here. Plug your business.
Yes. So it's going to be on A. Philip Randolph Boulevard. I know that APR is actually on the same street as the arena in addition to the stadium. However, it's further down, closer to the Children's Commission, which is located in a neighborhood, a predominantly African-American neighborhood. It's on A. Philip Randolph Boulevard,
another civil rights giant.
Yes, another civil rights giant. And so I'll be working with some local business owners as well, some local farmers, to bring in some fresh fruits and vegetables and items, because it's located in Health Zone 1, which has some of the highest disparities as it relates to diabetes, high blood pressure. And again, this all, I think it all goes back to me being at a school that had the resources, and me seeing my neighbors and my brother going to schools that didn't have adequate resources, mm-hmm. and me wanting to change that. And so that's the work that I do today.
So people need to come out and be
yes.
part of this.
Yes.
This is coming up.
Mm-hmm. It's coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow
is the first one. It's at 6 o'clock. At the Jesse Ball DuPont Center, the old library downtown, and it's located at 40 East Adams Street. Happy hours at 6 when you can mingle with us, the others, and me, myself, and I, and the other speakers, and the presentations begin at 7.
This is Jam Sessions, the first one of the year, happening tomorrow night at the Jesse Ball DuPont Center. Angie Nixon leading a talk on race. And by the way, Angie's daughter is an amazing kid. She's the author of this book called Moxie Girl, which is the coolest thing in the world.
Yes.
And you've been on to talk about that, too.
Yes, I have. Natalie is an author who didn't like to read and didn't like her hair and was getting bullied in school in regards to her hair. So we made her a superhero, and her Afro puffs are her superpowers, and we created a comic book, and she won One Spark.
Yes, she was a winner at One Spark, a big winner.
A big winner. And yeah. So we've traveled the country promoting literacy, primarily in African-American schools throughout the country. So, yes.
You are doing amazing work, and thank you so much for sharing all of this. I know that this will be an important discussion. Again, this is tomorrow night at the Jesse Ball DuPont Center, 6 p.m., the first jam session of 2018 for the city. Angie Nixon, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
She would say to me, come and do a song with me. And I'd say, no. And she'd say, what do you think's going to happen? They're going to throw rocks at you? And I'd say, yes, something like that.
Join us for more True Stories Told Live. This week, vampires, rock stars, a war reporter, and more. On the Moth Radio Hour from PRX. Saturdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT.
I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. From the State House to the Everglades to the Panhandle, Florida has a unique story.
So join us every Friday for the Florida Roundup.
And hear from newsmakers, journalists, and Floridians from all across the state.
About the issues that matter to you.
The Florida Roundup, Fridays at 1 on WJCT.
WJCT offers a 24-hour classical music service dedicated to live classical music programming 24 hours a day. To find out more, visit us at wjct.org/hd.
Welcome back. Well, if you're a woman business owner looking to start or grow your business this year, you need to mark your calendar for the Female Founders Forum. Yeah, this is an event held every year on International Women's Day, which is March 8th, and it's focused on empowering and funding a network of female entrepreneurs. Christine Lee McFall is with PS27 Ventures. They provide venture capital and advice to early stage founders. She joins us now with more. Good morning.
Hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
This is great. And so this is a forum specifically for early stage female business owners or founders, as you call them.
Yes, it's for founders of small companies, startup companies, and for women who are thinking about starting their own companies.
Yeah. And so what's on the agenda? This will be networking, advice, a lot happening for women that really need to tap a lot of information quickly.
Yeah, so we have a fantastic keynote speaker, Alexa Carlin, and she is a founder herself. We also have workshops on emotional intelligence by Kelly Minnell. We have funding workshops, Girls Just Want to Have Funs by
Don't we? Yes, all girls want to have funs. That
yes,
is true.
Yes, we do. And some great people attending, SCORE mentors. We have Sarah Marine Johnson with Moxie Kitchen and Cocktail. She was a Small Business Leader of the Year. It's just a great day of connecting women.
That's wonderful. You know, and PS27 Ventures is a venture capital firm based here in Jacksonville. And this is really cool, Christine, because we tend to think of venture capital, VC, as being a Silicon Valley-based concern. At most of the firms that are funding startups tend to be there or maybe New York, but this is a big firm based in Jacksonville, and you are looking at identifying startups and funding them. And let me ask you in particular, for this event, for women in particular, how important is it to your company to identify female-owned businesses? It can be so difficult for female business owners to access venture capital. The data on this is pretty massive. Venture capital firms tend to be run by men. Women-owned businesses tend to have a very hard time getting venture capital for their startup ideas. They'll go in and pitch, and often the men just don't get the concept that they're trying to pitch. Just last night, I was listening to a public radio show on this station, Marketplace, and they were interviewing the CEO of this wildly successful company called Stitch Fix, a woman who founded this great company that's making a lot of money. And she went to dozens of venture capital firms, dozens of men who run these firms, and not one of them wanted to give her a dime because they just didn't understand her concept. They're not inside the minds of women. And she had an idea that she knew would appeal to millions of women. But the men who have the money, they don't necessarily get these ideas. And so with this forum, you're trying to connect women to venture capital and other networks too. How big a priority is that for your company? Because this is a big obstacle for women founders.
Sure, that's so important to us at PS27 Ventures, and that's part of the reason why we put on this forum. We really want to connect women with the opportunity to be represented and to get funding for their companies. And that's really what this event is about, is connecting women who have done it before, who have been in their shoes, and who have been able to come out on top and to be able to start their own companies.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about how PS27 Ventures, and your CEO has been on the show before, they've decided to stay here in this area because they see the potential of this area particularly, right?
We do. We love Jacksonville. We love Jacksonville's environment, and the amount of creativity that we have in the city is fantastic, and it is a great place where you can find the right people. It's just a big city, so hopefully people can find us and attend this event and find venture capital locally.
Getting venture capital from your firm, though, is not just a snap. There's a whole series of benchmarks that people have to go through, correct?
Yes, we do go through a process of screening our entrepreneurs and picking just the right ones that fit our company's brand. But even if you might not fit in with PS27, we also have a network of venture capitalists in the region that would be able to help you get started with your company.
All right. So this is coming up on International Women's Day, which is March 8th. How can female founders register for this forum?
Sure. You can register at our website. It's ps27ventures.com/FFF for Female Founders Forum. If you go to our homepage, you'll also see a link right on the front page.
It's the Female Founders Forum coming up on the UNF campus, March 8th, International Women's Day. She's Christine McFall with the VC firm PS27 Ventures here in Jacksonville, the forum sponsor. Christine, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Melissa. Grateful to be here.
In a moment, it's Black History Month. Find out what Friends of Hemming Park has going on to celebrate that right in the heart of Jacksonville this weekend. We'll tell you why you need to get downtown. That's right after this.
Michio Kaku is one of the world's most famous physicists, and he says the next 20 years are going to get really weird.
Your walls will become intelligent because chips only cost a penny a piece.
Kaku says there's a lot to look forward to, from talking wallpaper to toilets that read our proteins. But is he right? Michio Kaku on the future of humanity, next time on 1A.
Weekdays at 11 on 89.9 WJCT.
Growing up in rural Idaho, Tara Westover didn't go to school, had no birth certificate, and never saw a doctor, while her family stowed food and weapons for a confrontation with the government. On the next Fresh Air, she talks about growing up, getting a PhD, and coming to terms with her background. Tara Westover's memoir is Educated. Join us.
Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
This week on Radiolab, the battle between good,
like a fountain of youth, Gene,
and evil.
Silence!
That happens inside our genes.
These genes are struggling with each other.
But what if we could rig the fight? Could we live forever?
It sort of reopens the quest for the fountain of youth in a new molecular way. Used to be people would talk about that, but it's the world of fairy tales and fantasy. And now,
Sundays at noon on 89.9 WJCT.
President Trump has promised lots of things. Some came true, some didn't.
It's pretty hard to think that you know how the whole game is going to turn out if you're only watching the first quarter.
I'm Molly Wood. How folks in a small town think of Trump's first year. Next time on Marketplace.
Weekday evenings at 6 on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
All right, welcome back. Well, finally this hour, it's a celebration of African-American culture right in the heart of the city. Get Downtown is taking over Heming Park this weekend in connection with Black History Month. Christina Parrish Stone is Director of Events and Programming with Friends of Heming Park, and she's here now. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
And this is exciting. First of all, congratulations on your new role at Friends of Heming Park. I hadn't had a chance to tell you that. That's exciting for you and for them. That's a coup for them to get you. Well, so kudos.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. We have a lot of great programming planned for this year. This first event, Get Downtown, is going to be so much fun. It's all day this Saturday, and we have something for everyone in the family. We have dance performances all day long, free dance workshops, music by some of Jacksonville's best performers, lots of artists. Your segment on women entrepreneurs made me think about all the wonderful women vendors that we're going to have on Saturday at Heming, selling their crafts and other items that they've produced.
So this is African-American culture being celebrated in the park, including, I couldn't believe this when I saw this in your email, Double Dutch.
Yes.
You're doing Double Dutch? That is fantastic.
I hope that I'm actually going to be doing it, too. I remember
really?
From my childhood how much I enjoyed it. There
yeah.
is a wonderful new nonprofit called Jump for Jacks. They are teaching urban kids Double Dutch. They use both single and double ropes, and they will be out for several hours on Saturday in our kids' zone, both doing demonstrations and teaching people how to jump.
Man, that takes me back. I was excited to see that. Also, step dancing, all kinds of stuff going on. It is Black History Month, so this is a really cool thing to be happening in the park. But of course, Friends of Heming Park, you are Director of Events and Programming, and you seek to program the park pretty much every day with something.
We do. We have food trucks and live music. We have live music 3 days a week. And food trucks every day. On the weekends, we have events both that we program and that others bring into the park. In fact, Angie Nixon, who was on the show, is going to be hosting a Kidpreneur event next month. And our job is to activate that park and offer something for everyone in Jacksonville from time to time. That's my goal, is to celebrate the diversity of Jacksonville and have programming that appeals to people of all ages and all backgrounds.
So diverse programming, diverse events, things constantly happening in the park, but that appeal to a wide variety of people with the goal of getting more people to come into the urban core, right?
That's right. This year, we started off our programming with a Hanukkah event back in November, which was the first, or December rather. It was the first Hanukkah lighting in a public park in Jacksonville ever. That was really well attended. And throughout this year, we're starting with our Black History event. We're going to have an Asian and Pacific Islander festival. We've got a Hispanic Heritage Month event. We're celebrating Women's History Month next month. Every single Friday, we will have a band that is led by a woman performing.
Nice.
For our TGI Fridays, which is another new thing we've started. Every Friday from 11:30 to 2, we have some of Jacksonville's best bands performing in the park during lunchtime providing free concerts.
So much happening. And again, I just, when I heard that you were going to be doing this, I said, oh, that's just a slam dunk, because not everyone realizes this, but you are a queen. The undisputed queen of Springfield.
Well,
this is well known.
One of many queens.
And so you will now reign. Your reign is now enlarged to extend over Hemming Park as well. And that is well, good, and beneficent for all.
Well, I hope so. I think there will be many queens in Hemming Park on Saturday.
I've crowned you.
Thank you.
It's a well-deserved reign. The scepter and crown are yours. This is well known. I kid around, but you know, you deserve this, Christina.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of great things happen in Hemming. We have a wonderful team, great support from the City of Jacksonville's Parks Department, and it's an important place. That's something. The reason that I came to Hemming Park was I think it's an undervalued asset. It should be the most beautiful, best cared for park in the city of Jacksonville. It is the front door to City Hall. It's the place where more visitors to Jacksonville end up than any other place in the city. Our wonderful Museum of Contemporary Art, our main library is right there. And it's a place where every person in Jacksonville should feel welcome. And we need to make it a priority.
Well, with the incredible track record you've had with the success of running the Porch Fest event in Springfield for some years now, I think there's no doubt that we will see a lot of exciting things happening now as you're running the events and programming for Hemming Park. So, as Christina said, you need to get downtown Saturday. This Saturday, it's a celebration of Black History Month with dance, food, music, a lot happening. The band Cats Downstairs is headlining. We have a little music from them to kind of close out the hour. They'll be a lot of fun, won't they?
They are fantastic. MJ Baker will start things off, followed by Groove Coalition, and then Cats Downstairs. And yes, bring the whole family. There's something for everyone. 12 o'clock until 8:30 this Saturday.
Come on out and enjoy it. It's Get Downtown Saturday. Christina Parrish Stone, all hail the queen. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you, Melissa.
We'll be back tomorrow. 1A's up next. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. This is Cats Downstairs. You can take a listen to them. A preview of Saturday's Big Bash. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.